TheYeshiva.net.
So the last two classes, we began this Maimer Basi Lagani, Tavshin Chav Dalad, that was said by the Rebbe, by the Lubavitch Rebbe 60 years ago. Mitzayish Rishalach Yir Aleph Shvat, Basi Lagani Achaisi Kala. We learned the first few chapters, and in this kuntres we're holding page Yutes. Yutes, the second paragraph, you see Perik Beis, the second chapter. So it's page Yutes. You also have the source sheets on the yeshiva.net if somebody wants later. Okay, so after a long explanation on Basi Lagani Achaisi Kala, which is a pasuk, as we know in Shir HaShirim, a verse in the Song of Songs, which really speaks of the purpose of creation, where Hashem says, Basi Lagani, I'm coming back, Lagani Lignuni, to my garden, to my bridal canopy, to my chuppah, to be together with my kala, achaisi kala, with my sister, with my kala. And explains the whole process of building the mishkan and the krushim and the atzei shittim, transforming the shtus, the insanity, and the lie that exists in reality, in our reality, to holiness. And explaining at length why the Jewish people are called Tzivos Hashem, the definition of a soldier, and the nature of a battle, what a war is, and what a soldier needs in order to be able to win the war, which we discussed all in the first class. And then about the Eitzris, the treasures, that the king, the leader, the commander-in-chief, splurges, the crown jewels that he splurges for all of the troops, for all of the soldiers, in order to be able to win the war, which is called Midas HaNetzach. And all of this is a metaphor, an avoda, in a person's work, that as the generations progress and the war needs to be won, the battle of Gula, the battle of goodness, the battle of truth, so the deepest Eitzris, the deepest treasures that the king has concealed and not even shown to anybody, never mind used or distributed, are used and splurged and given to the point that he put his own life on the line. That's the power of Netzach. So now he goes into the Nimshol, that is, in Zohar we have the expression, Eir Ein Sof, Lamayla Adin Ketz, Lamata Adin Tachlis. That the Eir of Ein Sof, the Zohar has this expression, Tikkuni Zohar, that Eir Ein Sof, the light of the Ein Sof, the infinite, is Lamayla Adin Ketz, Lamata Adin Tachlis. L'mayla din ketz means it goes up to no end, and it goes down to no end. And this started the explanation, what this means. Because in order to understand the Eitzer, first you have to understand that which is revealed, that which is Eir. And then from there you can understand the Eitzer, the treasure which is even beyond Eir. What's the idea of L'mata din tachlis? L'mata din tachlis means that in all the worlds, till the lowest world, which is called Olam HaSiyah, the lowest reality, the Eir Ein Sof, the light of Ein Sof, extends there and permeates there. And in this world, Olam HaSiyah, it's not just the holiness of the world or the neutral things of the world, even in the klippa of the world. Klippa means the cover-ups, the husks. And in klippas themselves, you have klippa, which is a shayma lepri, it protects the fruit, like the shell of a fruit. That's one level of klippa. And then you have klippa, which actually entices a person to do something against the Ratzon Hashem. But even that, the klippa, fulfills its duty. Like the metaphor of the Zohar, we spoke about that the king hires the designer, the promiscuous woman, to entice the prince. So that's all her fulfilling her duty. This is her role in the hierarchy of creation. Everyone has a role. Every animal has a role. Every insect has a role. Every fish has a role. Klippos has a role. It's the person that the Gemara says on him, Yitush Kadmach, that even a Yitush is greater than you. The person who can deviate from the plan, from the program, from the Ratzon for him. That's the power of a person. So in that sense, that's lower than klippa. person sinning. In that itself, a person could use material of the world to do what they want, or what they think they want. And then there's the person using holiness, Torah, in order to deviate from the purpose of creation, and that's even more painful. So that's different levels of lamata adin tachlos. On this, the Zohar says, Eirin soif lamata adin tachlos. So that's now it's going to continue to explain. Umam shechapedek yudalad, chapter 14 of Basi Lagani. Like I told you, the original Basi Lagani from the Rebbe Dayat has 20 chapters. And each year at the Yud Shvat Fabrengen, the Rebbe would explore one chapter. It took 20 years. And then started again. So this is Tavshin Chav Dalet. Now is 60 years later. Tavshin Pei Dalet focuses chapter 14. That's why this was an introduction. And then he starts off Perik Yidalet. Mam Shecha Perik Yidalet. You see page Yutes. I also wanted to mention that the series is dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Rivki Vershashansky, Le'elu Nishmas, Reb Zalman Yudde ben Reb Shalom Yeshayahu, Daich Zichronim Levracha, Tehei Nishmas Yitzruda B'tzer HaChayim. Thank you very, very much. Omam Shech Peperik Yudalid, V'hinei B'kol Zeh, V'ata Mechayes Kulam Ksif. The Pasuk says, in Nechemiah, Peperik Tes, we say it every morning in Davening, in Pesukah de Zimra, right? Before Az Yashid, the section called Vayivarech David, we bring these psukim from Nechemiah. Atu hu Hashem levadecha. It's all from Nechemiah. Atu Hashem levadecha. Atu asisus Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, v'chol tzva, maritz v'chol asher ala, yamim v'chol asher behem. Every part of davening is special, but this is an extra special. Every part of davening is special. This is a very powerful part of davening. Va'ata ra'ata says Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, v'chol tzvam. You made the heavens and the earth and all the troop, all the legions on the earth and the seas and everything that's in it. Va'ata mechaya eskula. What does it mean? Va'ata mechaya eskula. And you give life to all of them. Everything. From Shemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, in the heavens of the heavens, all the way down to earth. You give life. So that's what he says. Bekolza, despite all of this, meaning, Etaka, the world goes lamata mata adin tachlus. There's lower and lower and lower to no end. On this we say, v'ata mechaya is kulam. Kulam means everything. Everything is sustained. Everything has vitality. Everything has chiyus. From you, v'ata mechaya is kulam. Which means, the ha'odah seyru l'kiyare nimshuk l'havis l'hachis is kol nevroi mayin liyesh. He's quoting his father-in-law, the Rebbe Dayat, from Perik Yudalit in his Maimon Basi Lagani from Tavshin Yud. As I explained in the first shiur, the structure, that the ha'ara sa'ira l'ki, which means the light, the ray of the divine energy, the divine light, comes as nimshach, is communicated, lahavis, first of all, to create, lahavis from the word hoya, hoya, right, hoive, lahavis baruch sha'amar, v'hoya ha'olam, from the word hoive, to be, and number two, lahachios, to give life, as kol ha'nevroim, all created beings, may ayin liyesh, taking him from a state of nothingness, which is no them, into a state of somethingness. As the Alter Rebbe the Balatanya explains in the Geres HaKodesh and Tanya, Simen Chav, chapter 20, which, by the way, he wrote right before his Estalkus, on Chav Dalet Tevis, Mamish, right before, da'ara, hu b'chol ha'nevroim, v'noit sadim v'nasim. That a ray of a ray of a ray permeates all of the creations, nevroim, noitzarim, and nasim, three words which correspond to Briya, Yitzira and Asiya, Nivroyim, Noitzarim, and Nasim. Those are created and formed and made. Shua Oir, V'achayis Alekisha, Nimshach B'chol HaNivroyim. There's the divine and light, and there's divine life that permeates all created beings. Kamaimer, like the Gemara says, the expression in Avodah Zarah, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Hazonim Afarnes Mekainer, Ne'emim Ad Beit Sekinim. He sustains and gives life, Parnosa, Mekarnei Re'emim are the horns of Re'emim, the huge wild oxen, Ad Beit Sekinim, until the eggs of lice, which you can't even see. You need special tools and instruments to be able to see those eggs. From Mekarnei Re'emim, representing the huge, powerful creation, Ad Beit Sekinim, till the smallest egg of lice, of a little tiny bug, it's all living from the Chayis Aleki, from the Eir Aleki, from the divine life. This light and this energy shines and is communicated even in the lowest levels, Kamesha Kasif. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Im Esak Shamayim Shamata. Vatziya Sha'ol Hinek. If I ascend to the heavens, you're there. Vatziya Sha'ol. If I go down and lay down, Atziya is like matzah, like a mattress. If I go down and lay down, Sha'ol. Sha'ol is the abyss. Right, the grave, meaning all the way down, down. The shoil is on everything on the bottom. Hineka, you're there. Famous psukim. Esek shemayim shamata vatziya shoil hineka. Esek hanfei shachar eshken abachris yom gam shom. Yot sechazeni yiminecha. Even if I go to the end of the sea over there too. Gam choshech layachshik mimecha. Darkness won't eclipse you. Laila kayam yoyer. V'hainu atkan l'shoina. This is the language of the Maimer of the Rebbe Dayatz, the previous Rebbe. V'hainu da'af, al b'sheyesh namanyanam shem l'mata mata. Commission is boile al baruch ha'kam of dargis bazad l'mata mata. In other words, even though reality extends all the way mata mata, lower and lower. Lower here, we don't only mean geographically lower. But we explained before the various levels of lower. First of all, the olam ha'asiyah. The world itself, olam ha'asiyah, is a world that conceals the divine. But that's, it's a neutral world. You have trees, you have plants, you have seas, you have oceans, you have a sunrise, you have a sunset. Then in Olam HaSiyah, as he said, there's the klippas of Olam HaSiyah. In klippas itself, there's many levels. And then there's the person who deviates. And then there's the person who deviates with the Koyach HaTorah. All of this is Mata Mata Adin Tachlos. Mikol Mekim Gam Inyonim Meluim Bechlal Mashakosav Atem Chayes Kulam Kulam Daika Shekailul Gam Inyonim Shelamata Mata Biyosir Afilu Klippus Afilu Inyonim Shelamata Miklippus Shazo Oivir Al Ritzoni Yisbarach. On this we say Kulam Vatem Chayes Kulam. Kulam means not the majority of things, not 90% of things, not 99%. Kulam means it permeates all of them. In other words, even that's what the Zohar means. Oirin Soif is Lamata Mata. Adin Tachlis, that Va'ata Mechaya Eskulim, even that which you could call lower than Klippas. Because again, Klippa fulfills its purpose in the hierarchy, in the system. Only the person is the only one who could say, I'm not part of a system. Everybody gives, everybody takes. I'm completely alone, I'm completely isolated. Even Klippa can do that. Klippa fulfills its job. Only the person could even deny Bechal that there's a system. And I'm part of a cosmic symphony. Hariyu Lashem Kala Aretz. The Baal Shem Tov said is the Rosh Tevis Halacha. Hariyu Lashem Kala Aretz. Let the whole world sing. Let the whole earth sing. Is Hey Lamed Chafei Hariyu Lashem Kala Aretz. Yishtachavu Lashem Bahadras Kodesh Rosh Tevis Kabbalah. It says in the Svar of the Baal Shem Tov, Halacha is Hariyu Lashem Kol Aretz, meaning it's tuning into the symphony of the world. It's aligning yourself with the symphony of life. Then there's a deeper Yishtachavu Lashem Bahadras Kodesh. But I'll call upon him. So even Klippa, it fulfills its role. There's predators, there's prey. Klippa does its thing. Even the Klippa that's not saying I'm a protection. This Klippa, really Klippa, is just a protection. Just a protector. The body is here to protect the soul, and the animal soul is here to protect the body, to be a channel for the divine soul. But even when Klippa goes out of whack, in order to entice the person, it's also fulfilling its role. Only the person themselves, could say, I'm going to be Oved al Ritzoni Yisbarach, which means I pull myself out of that, so that's even a lower level of Lamata de Tachlis. So now you could think, you're gone, you're lost. He says, Va'ata mechaya eskulam, even Lamata mata de Tachlis. To explain all this, so he starts explaining. When the Pasuk says, V'atam Mechayes Kulam, you give life to everything, the Kavana is not to Atzmus Mamish. He's going to explain what he means. Atzmus, generally, in the world of Chassidus, means the essence of everything, the core of everything. The Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya, explains in Shari Yichud Ve'emun, in the second section of Tanya, that Shetevas Va'ata Haynu Pchines Ha'Oisis Me'alev Va'atof Va'hei Hei Mitzoyis Ha'Pem Me'Koyra Oisis. The word Va'ata, he says, Ata, is three letters, Aleph, Tof, Hei. So Aleph to Tof includes all the letters of the Aleph base. Aleph to Tof. And then Hei are the source of the letters. Because we have what's called Hei Mitzoyis HaPeh. in the mouth, there's hematzais, there's, in order to vocalize any letter, any word, there's five different types of sounds that are produced from five sources in the mouth. And they create different letters. For example, Aleph, Ches, Hey, Ayin, are known, they come from the gorin, they come from the throat. Ah, ha, ha, ah. Beis, Vav, Mem, Pei. Right? That's a second mitzvah that comes from the svasayim, the lips. Try to keep your lips open and say a beis. Doesn't work. Ah, it's fine. It's fine. Hey, can't say a beis, Vav, Mem, Pei without the lips. So you have Hey, mitzvah, hapeh. Five different sources. So the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that that's Ata. Just like we have it physically. Nasa Adam, Betzalmenu, Kidmuseinu. It's in the source. That the whole creation comes from, the whole creation is letters. Essentially 22 letters. Ketzad Ramban says the world was created by Lashon HaKodesh. So the letters of the universe, that is what constitutes the chiyus of the universe. Chazal saw the universe as basically a combination of letters. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ba'asara Ma'amaris Nivra Olam. The world was created through 10 utterances. What are Ma'amaris? Ma'amaris are letters. If you open up a chumash, like the Mishnah says, Vayoymer, it says, Vayoymer Elokim Yihir, Hashem said, let there be light, and there's light. Vayoymer Elokim Yihir Akiya, Vayoymer Elokim Tachi Aritz Dasha, Vayoymer Elokim Yihir Ma'odes, Vayoymer Elokim, all the way Nasa Adam. Basara Mamoris, 10 different Vayoymers, the world was created. It only says 9 Vayoymers, but the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Bereshis, Nami Maimer, who Bereshis is also called a Maimer. Why do we describe the world through Vayoymer, through saying, speaking? Basara Mamoris Nivraelim, it says in Tehillim, Bidvar Hashem Nas, Bidvar, we say Shabbos morning, many kilos, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Veruch Piv Kol Tzvam, Tehillim Lamed Gimel. It's all defined as words, as letters, Asara Mamoris, Vayoymer. He said, let there be light. So that's the Ata, Aleph through Tav, and they all have to come from Hay. Obviously, this is a metaphor. But the Aleph through Tav comes from the Hay, which are the five sources for all the Isis from Aleph Tav, just like you see it in the human being who utters letters and makes up words from them. So the whole universe is essentially words and letters. Amal, this was more of a concept that was a little abstract, but today, in our world today, in science and physics, we know, for example, the whole concept of DNA, which DNA is basically the blueprint, the manual that exists in every single, they call it the genome, in every single cell of the human body. You're talking about trillions, and you're not talking about 10 cells, you're talking about 60, 70 trillion cells, or a little more, a little less, has a double copy of the genome, which has the DNA, which is essentially a blueprint for all the functionality that this body needs. And the way it's defined in science is as letters. It's like a program code. It's like a program, it's like a back-end program code of a computer. And the sophistication of it and the sequence of it and the order of it is mamish compared to how you write a program. Exact sequence. If you change one little tiny sequence, chalila, it wreaks havoc in the body, in a certain functionality of the body. And you're talking about every single cell having a double copy of that DNA. And the DNA, if it was opened as a scroll and opened up to read, it would go to the moon and back. I mean, it's not, it's beyond, beyond comprehension. And that's in every living organism, every plant, every bug, every mosquito. We spoke about a mosquito, every yitush, every lice, every living organism. So it's defined as letters. It's really chemicals, but the program is written like letters, oisius. So essentially, those are the oisius, va'ata mechayas kulav. That's what the Alter Rebbe says, aleph through tav with the hay. So the Rebbe says, what's he bringing out here with Va'atam Achayas Kolam? It's not talking about Atzmus itself. Atzmus himself, the Gezoya says, Anoichi, Hashem says, Anoichi, I, who is Anoichi? Anoichi doesn't have a letter, doesn't even have a kites, doesn't even have the kites, are the little lines on top of the letters. Lo Yisram is Leber Shemais. It's beyond letters, because a letter is a structure. A letter is already a definition, right? A letter has an energy. Just like whatever you do on your computer is because the programmer created a code that allows you to do this particular functionality. If he changes one back thing in the code, this won't work. So every letter contains its own energy. That's why there's such diversity in creation. How is there such diversity? If there's 10 mamadas, So it should have been 10 things in the world. The answer is, like it says, explains over there in Tanya, Shariyachad v'emunah, there's tzirufim, which means just like in DNA, everybody should be exactly the same. You know, we share 50% of our DNA with a banana. So when you look at me, you should see a banana. And we share 98 or 99% of our DNA with a chimpanzee. So you say, Shalom Aleichem, chimpanzee. But the vart is, that little fraction that we vary, that makes the whole difference between a person and a chip. And a person, you're not a banana. We have things that were like bananas. 50% of us are just like bananas. It's pretty cute, no? When you look at a banana, you're looking at your first cousin. The truth is it's emes, because it's all from Achdus. It's all from Hashem Echad. You're looking at a chimp, yeah? There's a kinship there. I'm not here trying to propagate the philosophy that people are like animals. I'm trying to bring out there's an Achdus in the Bria. That's what gives a mistake, to think that we're chimps and we're elephants and there's just a little tiny difference. But the truth is, in terms of DNA, that tiny difference, that's the imprint. Chaysamay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu on you, even people. The DNA of people, we're not bananas, we're not chimps. It's a tiny variation, but that tiny variation, that makes the whole difference between your life and my life. And that's the imprint of the Ribbono Shel Olam that makes you, you, and me, me. And nothing is superfluous, even twins. Twins, which come mamish from the same source, but there's that tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of difference, even though in everything else, it's identical. So Oisi is by definition, every ois has a gedder. And when you create combinations, right? So you can have one word, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem, is five letters, but it has 120 combinations. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem, just giving an example, Elikim, right? There's Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem. There's Lamed, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Mem. There's Hey, Lamed, Aleph, Yud, Mem. There's Mem, Yud, Lamed. You have 120 combinations. So that's already 120 different types of creations. And then it goes more and more and more and more. Ad infinitum, ad insof. That's why there's so many different creations. And you see that, how it works in DNA. A little tiny difference in sequence in a ois, it changes the whole reality. So from those asara mamadas, everything comes out. Every rock and every pebble and every grain of sand and every droplet of water and every bird and every reptile and every star and every galaxy. From the smallest to the biggest. So when you talk about atzmos, there's no oisif. It's not defined by any oisif. What do you mean he's saying va'ata mechayas kulam is not atzmos? Chas v'shalom, to say that there's anything else that gives life outside of atzmos, outside of Hashem himself. So it's like you're making this atzmos, and then there's letters, and they're the ones that are responsible. Al-derech ma'amin azal ein lover lo'y l'midoysov. It's a famous ma'amin chazal about in Sifri. That when you're mechavin Shemus and davening, it has to be a love, v'loy l'midosav, to him, not to the middis, not to his middis. In other words, you start talking about all these levels, there's chesed and there's gvura and teferes, there's the shame of shindal adyur and the shame of elikim and shame of yutke vavke. So it says it's always a love, v'loy l'midosav, you're davening to him, not to his middis. So what do you mean, ata is not atzmos? There's something outside of atzmos that gives life to the world. He says it doesn't mean that. When you say, and this is very important when you learn about different levels, different madregas, b'mala kalalman and seifav kalalman and lifnei tzimtzum and after tzimtzum and eris and kalim and atzilus and bria. To explain how you have to look at it. There's nothing else that's mechaya outside of atzmos. Mikol makam, oifen achiyus yachalius kefisha atzmos hu kameshahu, a kefisha ratzin atzmos hu lahaylam ulahastidas atzmoi ba'oir elyen shekameyiz baruch ukamu. Avada, the whole world comes from, is sustained and is existing only from Atzmus, which is Hashem himself, nothing else. But the way it's communicated, the way it's perceived, the Chiyus could come, Atzmus could have communicated the Chiyus from Atzmus the way it is, pristine in its entire essence. Or the way Atzmus wants to conceal it in an Eir, which is perceived in a certain way by the creation. That's what we mean. So when we say va'ata mechayas kulam, va'ata is not atzmos, it's oisius, it doesn't mean it's not atzmos. It means the way creation can be defined as oisius, the way creation can be defined as something finite. If atzmos would express itself the way it is, so then everything would be seen, if all the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would be seen as is, which is pure infinity. and pure oneness. Because it goes through what we call the process of Isis, so everything has a definition. You're your letter, I'm my letter. The letters themselves have infinite different combinations. And he says, Shekamei Yisbarach Ukamhu. That's an expression in Kabbalah, that even the highest lights, the highest Ur Tzachim Metzuchzik, Lagabe, the source, it's Ukamhu. Ukam in Aramaic means it's dark. Shchayrani, it's dark. You know, even the highest light is already a form of concealment. So this is the Ratzon HaAtzmus, to communicate in a way that there should be something we call reality. And what we call reality is, there's you, there's me, there's finite, and then there's endless levels. There's Atzilus and Bri, Yitzid and Asi, and Asi itself. Every creature has its own consciousness. Why does it have its own consciousness? It's all Atzmus. That's the Emes. But the way, because Va'ata comes through Isis, so the way of Atzmus communicating in a way that there should be a sense of separateness, a sense of definition, a sense of finiteness, you understand? Aleph through Tav and the Hey. The Hainu Sham Shachas Achius Bechol and Avraim Adei Slapshus Ha'atzmus La'haylem U'la'asiris Atzmi Adei Ha'isius. That the Chius that comes into all the Nevraim is not Atzmus expressing the way it is. Then you wouldn't even say there's a world. You would just say Einah Mulvada. Because it comes through Va'ata, so it's Atzmus communicating in a way that I say this is a coffee bean, or this is a cup of coffee, and this is a tissue box, and I am I. And every creature, the elephant experiences reality of what an elephant experiences. And the star experiences the reality of the star, and I experience the reality the way I experience. Every brain is formed in its own unique way based on the Isis within which Atzmus is manifested. So if you peel all the layers away, yeah, it's all Atzmus. But that's the word when he says, Va'ata is not Atzmus, he doesn't mean there's something outside of Atzmus. He means what I'm experiencing is a glimmer of the ray that's experienced in my consciousness, and it makes me who I am. And on this, there's endless levels, how much you're sensitive, how much you're aware of, how much you feel, how much you experience, all the way to mata mata adin tachlis, to the lowest, most distant place, and there too you say, va'ata mechayas kulam. It's all the chayas from va'ata. Omeisiv ba'amaymer, he adds to the maymer, the ha'aras, ayda l'ki, aray nimshech lahava yisul l'chayas, as kolan avroi me'ayin liyash. That this ha'ara, he brings the pasuk v'ata mechayas kulam, but he says that this light comes lahavis. Lahavis means to create existence and to give life to all of everything. He adds the word lahavis, not just lahachis. V'ayinu d'imei yeshu v'pasuk nemar v'ata mechayas kulam. The pasuk doesn't say v'ata mahava; it says v'ata mechaya. Harei b'sekem ha'shekosav rabbein azakim b'shara yichud v'mon al tikta mechaya ela mahava. The Rebbe says on this pasuk, quoting the Pardes, Rabbeinu Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, Al tikri mechaya lemahava. Like you have a lot, it says al tikri, like we say in the morning, right? Al tikri bonayich ela bonayich. Even though it says in the pasuk this way, al tikri, don't read it only like this, read it also like this. The Gemara says in Sait, it says, vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kailaylam, right? Al tikri vayikra ela vayakri. He didn't only call, he made other people call. Avraham Avinu made other people. That's the concept called al tikri. So the Pardes says, and Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, when it says va'ata mechaya, don't only read it as mechaya. You give life. It's also Ela Mahava. You also bring it into existence. The Hainu Yeshmeyayin. Something from nothing. Kvisha Mevi, Lifnei, as the Alter Rebbe brings earlier in Tanya and Shari Yichud Pirush, HaBal Shem Tov, HaBal Shem Tov, said the Masha Kosov. La'oilam Hashem Dvarchen, it's a Vashamayim. It says in Tehillim and Kuf Yutes. Hashem, your word always stands in heaven. What does it mean, your word always stands in heaven? La'oilam Hashem Dvarchen, it's a Vashamayim. So many Mefarshim say it means that whatever you promised, your words forever remain. They're not gonna be lost. The Baal Shem Tov says, "Amoyde diketayich la'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim." Means pidush haynu she'osis hadibur me alef atof she'ba'asada ma'amaris oimdim bitmidius ba'oifin de nitzav k'me atem nitzav v'milosh nitzav melech she'moyde al heder hashinui b'chol anivroyim la'voisam ulekayma. The Baal Shem Tov says, La'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim. The words that you said by the creation, Yehi Rakia, let there be a heaven, those words, nitzav b'shamayim, they stay standing in the heavens to create them every single moment. In other words, if for a single moment the Dvar Hashem would depart from the Shamayim or any other creature, it would cease to exist, v'hoya k'loya, like it was pre-creation. In other words, the Isis have to continuously create and sustain the world. So everything is constantly being renewed every moment and created and sustained by the Isis Aleph through Tav. Va'ata mechayas kulam. So that's what the Baal Shem Tov teaches, La'olam Hashem. Dvarcha, it's not one time you said a speech and that's it. This dvar is a continuous drasha. It's a continuous speech. It's Hashem constantly infusing the energy to create the whole structure of the world, all the worlds. And the word that he uses is Nitzav. And he says Nitzav, so the Rebbe teaches from the word Atem Nitzavim, Nitzav Melech, which means it stands there with a toikif, without change, as he's going to explain what that means here. In all the Nivraya. So it's Altikra Mechaya Lamav. Vezel Shemaisiv Ba'maimer. This is what he adds. Sha'oira Lekinim Shech Lahavis Vachakam Lahachis is Kol Nivraya. That's why he says not only Lahachiyos, but also Lahavis. Not just to give life, but also to create. Va'inyim Bezel, why is this Negeya to understand the Lamata Adin Tachlis? Lamainav Kamina Dehine. Be'inyina Yisavus V'inyinachiyos Yashchiluk Bahagilu Shebedavar. There's a big difference between talking about the chayus and talking about hisavus, how it's revealed. Chayus is the life, hisavus is the existence, the creation, how it's revealed. As explained elsewhere, in Chassidus at length, this is in Torah Shalom from the Rebbe Rashab, he explains Osicha, Simchas Torah Tofer Samachtas. Shebenegeya, let's read it and I'll explain. Shebenegeya, lisavus anevraim ratzah kodesh baruch hushinyana yisavus yibayif and shamahava, maila misatzmim ma'amisava. When it comes to creation, to existence, Hashem wanted that the way something is created is that the creator conceals himself from that which is created. Ad kidei kach shahargoshasi shel hayesh hanivrei she'ein lo ilu v'sibah shekadma lo ela hu yesh amiti. K'vishenir gam le'ini azel. To the point that the intuitive feeling of anything that exists is, I have no source. He doesn't have an ilu v'sibah. You could philosophize and rationalize and give explanations rationally. But what is the hergish? What is the feeling of a nivra naturally? I exist because I exist. It's a yeshamite. I'm a real existence on my own. I don't need a creator. And that's how another person even, if I'm looking at a table, I'm looking at a rock, I'm looking at a mountain, I'm looking at you, I don't right away say, oh, you have a creator. That needs an explanation. When it comes to chiyus, it's not that way. You see that there's something going on. You see there's life. Whenever you look at anything, how it lives, if you really study anything that lets alive, it's impossible to ignore the understanding and the feeling. If you really look at it, and you know that there's something happening there. There's something giving it life. Even though the understanding and the feeling are, meaning in a condensed fashion, it's what the person can perceive based on the mechanism of their of what they're seeing. Emes, but they're seeing there's something happening. Take, for example, on Tuesday, Hashem said, let the earth produce vegetation, sprout desha is vegetation, everything that grows. Like Rashi says, all the asim, all the grasses, everything. Sheyesh b'ze bezin yanam. There's two things. Hishavus mitziyas hadesha, uprata yaifanim dekiyum v'chiyus hadesha. There's hishavus and there's chiyus. There's creating the very existence, the very matter called a blade of grass. From ayin to yesh. That's the existence. That's the hishavus. From non-existence to existence, that's number one. But then there's the life of a blade of grass, the life of a shrub, the life of a plant, the life of a tree. And this is already how it exists, how it lives, how it produces what it produces, how it continues the next generation, its functionality, not its very, 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 very existence. Its nature, its properties. The fact that it exists, that something exists, is the whole world is identical. You were created, I was created Yeshmayan, you were created Yeshmayan. The pebble is created Yeshmayan. But then there's the properties, that's individual. That's called the chiyus, the life force. Your life force is not my life force. We're both existences. In that sense, we're identical with every stone, with every star. But, or to put it differently in today's language, all matter is a combination, building blocks of all matter are atoms. Atoms come together to create molecules, and from this comes all matter. There's nothing that doesn't exist because of a combination of atoms and molecules. Or in the language of Chassidus, Isis. So Right. But how the atoms are combined, that's completely different. That's why there's the atoms that make up a tissue, and there's the atoms that make up a piece of paper, and there's the atoms that make up a mic, and make up a coffee, and make up me. And in me itself, there's 70 trillion cells, so there's 70 trillion me, so we have to know which part of me. That's why it's a little complicated. But what are atoms made up? The word atom means, in Greek, it's indivisible. They used to think an atom is indivisible. Today we know. They used to think atom is that point that you can't split it anymore. Today we know that the atom could be split and it's powerful. The atom itself has subatomic particles and sub-subatomic particles. And once you go there, the whole reality changes. But I'm trying to bring up this two inyanim. There's the common denominator, his havos. Everything comes into existence. And then there's chiyus. Chiyus is diversity, your life force, meaning your functionality, your properties, your uniqueness, how you function. A mountain is not a star. The moon is not the sun. An elephant is not an ant. And an ant is not a banana. And a cherry is not a blueberry, as you know. So it's separate things.
They used to say the common denominator are which all things are made. They're defining his kavias as the common denominator.
Yeah. The ayin becoming yesh, his havos. Oh, so the oisis are responsible for both. We'll see in a moment. And then there is differentiation where each desha, each plant, you know how many types of trees there are, for example? There's probably between 70,000 and 100,000 species of trees. How many could you name besides maple and mahogany? I'm telling you, you're talking about, right? Not there's 100,000 trees, 100,000 types of species. There's like 10,000 species of birds, right? There's millions of species of fish, thousands of species of mammals. It's half of a fella. And every species is different. And within each species, we're all one species, but everybody is different. You know, maybe to the elephants, we all look the same, but we're all different. So he says, if you take, for example, there's a desha that needs a lot of rain, right? The cactus doesn't need, they don't need rain. Those who can grow in the desert, those that can grow in the desert, everything. How much heat does it need? How much sunlight does it need to get sustained? This is not a question of his havas if it exists. It exists, but how does it exist? What type of life force does it? Yeah, being. And chiyus is the type of being. Yeah, he created being also. Yeah. The kashra adam is bainin bazaar. So when a person really studies this, and here he's talking about the basic study of pashut, huh? Of rats, yeah, or anything, any nekuda in the world, any nekuda. It could be a leaf. Studying one leaf, it's so complex what it takes to make a leaf, right? Studying one cell, I told you once that the structure of a cell is more complex and intricate than the infrastructure of London and Paris and Los Angeles and New York and Tel Aviv and Moscow, which is complicated. And Melbourne put together. You know, the infrastructure of cities are there were one cell and there's 60, 70 trillion of those in your body. So he says, when you study it, as I bully yediyah v'havana, a person comes to realize, sheyeshnei mi shemashgiach bashgacha pratis sheyiyu kol lo inyonim hadrushim ba'ifan amasim l'chol esav v'esav sheyuchal liyuschai. Unless you want to dafka be blind and dafka be stubborn, a person comes to a pretty direct realization that there's somebody doing this. There's someone who's mashgiach bashgacha pratis. There is a divine providence that everything should be able to function in the way it needs to for every grass and every desha, every plant, it should be able to function and live. And there's no exception. Anywhere in the Bria where you look, there's so much purpose, there's so much functionality, and it's so intricate and it's so complicated. It's crazy complex. It's so complex that to say that it's just happening randomly is absurd. You have to have a lot of faith in order to be an atheist. You have to have a lot of emunah. Really a lot of emunah. Now there are a lot of people that have a lot of emunah. But you must have to have a lot of faith. And yeah, you come up with this theory, but in any other area of life, nobody would have, even if you have to, you have six dice, right? The famous example. You have six dice. And you want that the dice should be organized in an order. One, the first dice should have a one, and a two, and a three, and a four, and a five, and a six. But it's not just enough. And you want them to stand in order beautifully. One right near each other, one touching the other one in exact identical uniform fashion. It should be beautiful. Just six dice. How long will it take you to drop the dice and first of all get a one, two, three, four, five, six, and each one in a straight line touching the other one, but not too tight and not too close? And as you know, how long would it take you to do it with intention? It'll take you 4 seconds. So that's one of the easiest tasks in the world. And yet to have that happen randomly, how many times do you have to throw the dice? Good luck. You could try for 100 years. And that's a stupid task. I mean, stupid, it's a very simple task. It doesn't come close. It doesn't, not even a fraction of the seder that's needed in one atom. And you're talking about a needle that has sextillion atoms, which means one with, I don't know, 22 zeros, 26 zeros. And every nekuda is that. There's no nekuda in the Briya that's not that way. So if I see the dice like that, I know that somebody organized it. And here it's constant and it's every moment. And it's not just the thing itself. It's the relationship between the entire creation. Everything is dependent on everything else. Let's say you get the tree to function like this. But the tree is dependent on so many other things. So any nekuda that you look at, he says, the world speaks, the world screams, there's purpose. There's laws of nature. There would be no science if we couldn't rely on laws of nature. This is something the world screams. Of course you could bury your head in sand, but this is not something that's concealed. Wherever you look at, you see something happening, there's a system. You go into a factory, you see there's a system, right? One machine, another machine, another machine. The world, any factory, even if it has a million machines, doesn't come close to the system in one tree. Tachi Aretz Desha. It's just we're not used to thinking like that because we just take everything for granted. And it's really half-live a fella. I remember I was once here on Spook Rock. There was somebody who owns beehives. So he gave me a suit, a beehive suit, and he took me into the beehive. But it's a little beehive. I don't know, like 50,000 bees. But it's like a whole universe, the system, the seder, and everybody knows what to do. Most of the bees live only for 30 days. And there's a reason for it. They work hard. They work 12 hours a day. They get exhausted. After 30 days is gadal. And what are they doing most of the day? They're getting food. Especially when it comes springtime. That's when they come out to your gardens. They get nectar. They put it into their body. Right? They convert it into honey. They bring it back to the hive. They build beautiful honeycombs and they make a lid. It's geschmack. Nice. The Mishnah calls it chalas dvash. And it's all in order to make sure that the queen is sustained and generations are sustained. And most of them live for 30 days. They work nonstop. It's a fascinating thing. It's called the bee dance. You know what a bee dance is? It's a chassidish tanz of bees. Why is it you look in your garden after Pesach, there's a bee, and then 10 minutes later, there's 50 bees. What happened? This bee found food. Your garden. But the bee is not selfish. It has a whole chevra. So it goes back to the hive to tell them, yeah, that in Yankel Shmetel's garden, there's good nectar, but a bee can't speak. A bee can't even bark. So what does the bee do? You know what it does? It starts dancing. You think I'm exaggerating. It starts dancing. So hot. So when it starts dancing, everybody knows there's food. But where? So listen to this. The bee dances on an angle. If the bee dances on a 90-degree angle, it means go out of the hive, follow the light, and go 90 degrees to that, and you'll find the nectar. But how far? 90 degrees. The answer is how long he dances. I believe nobody still knows how. It's approximately, if I'm not mistaken, 1 kilometer per second. So if the bee dances for 2 seconds on a 90-degree angle, on a 23-degree angle, on a 180-degree angle, you're going to go 1 second, 2 seconds, go 2 kilometers in this angle, and you're going to hit Yankel's garden on Spook Rock or on Linkcrest. And suddenly there's a whole fabreng, and all the bees are in your garden 20 minutes later, 10 minutes later. It's how flew a fella. So I'm looking at this bee dancing, right? And they know this. It's in their DNA. And this is essential to their functionality. Every nivra functions like this in its own unique ways. And that's how the bee communicates. It's the best way to communicate, by the way. You come home, you start dancing. Now you have to, hopefully your wife will understand how you dance. Okay, that depends. If you're trained as a bee, everybody understands. It's fine. It finishes dancing and all the bees fly out. They know where the Fabrengen is. They know where the Simchas Beis Hashem is, where the Sudas Luvyasan is. Every Nivra is like this. It's a half of a fella. I was reading once about, they have what's called the Venus flytrap. You know the Venus flytrap? It's a pelodica thing. It eats bugs, but how can it eat bugs? Doesn't the answer is the bug goes in, right? And the bug starts moving around. So how does the Venus know that it's a bug that's eatable? The first time the bug goes in, it won't do anything. If within 20 seconds, I think it's 20 seconds, it feels another sensation in the speed of light, goes, it closes and it has a beautiful meal for a long time. It traps the bug. So now the Venus flytrap counts. It counts. If the bug waits 25 seconds, he's good to go. She knows 20 seconds, there's something alive here, boom. So now we see that these leaves, they know how to count. Really? Huh? It's a plant, Venus flytrap. I'm just giving an example. And this is unique to the Venus flytrap. You don't have other plants like this. I was reading about tobacco. You know, wild tobacco trees. Interesting. They can't germinate or grow without a wildfire. They need a wildfire. And then they could grow and germinate. The problem is, the insects come right away. They like it. Tobacco is very geschmack, not just for people. So when the insects start coming, the tobacco feels it, and it releases nicotine, which is poisonous for anything that has a muscle. So anything with a muscle gets eliminated or they run away. Now the caterpillars come. Caterpillars don't have muscles. So it doesn't bother them. So the moment the plant feels the saliva of the caterpillar, it would die because the caterpillar would eat everything up. It releases an odor. And the odor tells the bugs that there's a caterpillar here. So they all come and eat the caterpillars. The problem is the moths come. And the moth will now eat all the pollen. So it changes the shape of the leaves when the moth comes, so the moths can't get into it. It's a little tiny thing. Who would even notice? So now you can say it's all random. Everything is a mistake. And how many things have to happen for the tree to know this? If you have to make a machine that looks like the Venus flytrap, it would take you a long, long, long time. And they would say it's all mistake. And you're not talking about one tree, one plant. You're talking in... We can't even say numbers. They're billions and trillions and zillions and sectillions. And every nekuda is like this. There's no nekuda that's not. No animal or human being can produce their own food. If an animal is without food or water, it can't live. It needs food. Even water is not enough. You have to eat at some point. Right? We need food. The ones that produce their own food is plants, trees, plants. They take sunlight, they take water, they take soil, and somehow they produce from it a ganze meal for themselves and for the whole world. Like, we don't think about this. I exhale carbon, what is it called, carbon dioxide, the trees take it in and give me back oxygen. Some an interesting thing once read about. It says in Bereshis that every tree has a seed, every fruit has a seed. Because it has to propagate, right? One of the pillars of scientists, they don't understand why and how do plants and bushes and shrubs and trees produce so many seeds. Do you know that 1 acre of trees can have millions and millions and millions of seeds beyond what would seem necessary? Of course, the answer is because the whole purpose is to create a new generation. If you would have a few seeds, the seeds get eaten up, the seeds get squandered, there's no future. So there's millions, much more seeds than you would expect. So that one seed will find a place and a new tree will come out. And every plant has a different way of guaranteeing its seeds. Nitzchis, abinyan adayat. Right? Coconuts, the seed floats through water, oceans, seas, rivers, to plant in them. Some plants that take, goes on the fur of animals, gets stuck in the fur of animals, and the animals distribute the seeds. You have the dandelion has a parachute. It's a parachute. The seeds are fly with a parachute. And then there's seeds like different berries. Animals eat it, but they can't digest it. They can't digest it, so it comes out in the fertilizer. And then everyone has a different method. And I'm giving, I don't know, examples, like small, tiny, little examples, but this is mamash ad ein sof. There's no nekuda. So when you look at all of this, you could say it happened randomly. 5 dice, I won't say it. 6 dice, I won't say it. A book written randomly, I won't say it. But in the world, to say it, somehow it seems acceptable. But it's not al pi avana. When you look, you see. There's too much planning, there's too much precision, there's too much person. So the chius of it is obviously, there's an engineer, there's a designer. Nobody would say that a factory that is so organized in billions and billions and billions of details, and then everything works together. Remember, everything has to work together. They didn't know why there's lightning, Amal. Today, you know, without lightning, nitrogen in the air wouldn't be able to mix with the oxygen. It wouldn't be able to go into the plants. We would have no amino acid. We would not be able to build cells. So every time there's lightning, every 8 seconds somewhere there's lightning, it's essential to creation. The sun acts like a pump, right? And pumps up the water, draws the water, becomes vapor. Now, okay, beautiful. So there's rain. The problem is, when it rains, right, you have clouds and it rains, the water goes right back into the oceans. So Baruch Hashem, we have wind. What does the wind do? The wind spreads the clouds. So now when it rains, the water is everywhere. If there wouldn't be wind, what would happen? The water would go back into the ocean. The rest of the world would be a barren desert. The snow, we was zeichet a big snow. What does the snow do? The snow creates a cover. Most plants and little insects and bugs survive under the snow. It's like a blanket. It's a blanket that protects them. Especially in the climates that have a lot of snow. They can't live without that. And everything works together. Everything works together. It's not like there's a tree and there's me. I need oxygen right now. It's all from that tree. The synchronization and the achdus. So that's what the Rebbe says there. Va'ata mechayes kulam the chiyus. If anybody looks clearly, you see, I walk into an unbelievable factory and I say, wow, who set this up? You look at a computer, who programmed this? Push it. That's all chiyus. What about ishavus? Ishavus not. Ishavus does nothing. The tree says, there's design, there's purpose. The tree doesn't say, but look and see, I was created my ayin liyesh. He doesn't show his ayin. Once there's a yesh, he shows how functional he is. But he doesn't show the hishavus. That's what he says. That's the difference between mahava and mechaya. The way Hashem creates the world is, nothing, no yesh screams, I'm really ayin and I have a creator. We don't feel that. I could look at the tree and steer and marvel and know all the science of it, but where did you begin? In science today, they love to begin with the Big Bang. Yeah? The Big Bang, an explosion. And before, and what caused the Big Bang? You have to have an explosion, so you have to have two things, because if you don't have two things that create friction, there's no explosion. So what made those two things? And why were those two things living with Shalom Bayis for endless years and suddenly they got into a fight? One day science will discover. What are they? At some point, there has to be two things. They have to have friction. But till then, everything was good. And then one day they got into a fight. Boom, and there was an explosion. Now tell me, was there ever an explosion in history that from the explosion there came order? You explode a house and suddenly things are built beautifully. It's explosion. You go into your teenage daughter's room, right? Right? After 3 weeks, yeah? And you say, okay, leave it a little more and everything is going to organize on its own. You leave it another week, it's going to be Churban Bayis Shlishi. And a fourth week will be Churban Bayis Revi. But suddenly from these crazy explosions, the most organized world came into being. But the answer is, from the moment there's a yesh, the yesh doesn't speak anymore about the ayin. It doesn't say, look at me, I was nothing. That hergish we don't have in the world. The hergish of chiyus we do have. Look at your body. Just study biology. Study what your brain does every moment. How many decisions it makes. study how many optic nerves. You have millions of optic nerves in the eye that make it functional every single moment. And if there was a damage there, study how a fetus develops in the womb. And you see this mechanical engineering beyond comprehension of the goodness and brilliance. In any ant, in any reptile, fish, anything you touch. Study how atoms work. Just how atoms work. The orbit of one atom. You have the nucleus of the atom and the electrons revolving around in perfect harmony. And if one of them didn't work, the whole world would cease to exist. So that's functionality. That's chiyus. What about ishavus? He says, from chiyus you come to ishavus. The moment you see all of this, then you ask a question. Like the Chovas HaLevavos speaks about. Ein davar oses atzmai. How could something make itself? If it was here before, right? So then obviously it didn't make itself. But if it was brought into existence, how could something make itself? It can't make itself. It needs a boide. So you say, well, something else made it. Okay, thank you. And how was that inyan made? The moment you have something that's put together that has to be created, and there's a beginning, you have to ask a question. If it has a beginning, what caused the beginning? So you say, it caused the beginning. It happened, but there was no it. So there was another it that made this it happen. So what made that it happen? I don't know. It just was. But today, so Amalda used to say this is a chiddush of Yiddishkeit, Bereishis. Today, all science says there's a beginning. Big Bang means there's a beginning, Bereishis. So who created the Bereishis? What was before the Bereishis? I don't know. Ein davar oses atzmai. So they'll ask the question, and who made God? They have the same question on God. God eso ein oses atzmai. But that question, of course, doesn't begin because God is a type of reality that's different than something that needs to create itself. If something is limited and physical and is put together with other forces, it has to be created. A cell is a combination, it's a structure that needs to be created. Hashem is the whole, even of Hashem is that it's beyond matter, it's beyond time, it's beyond space, it's beyond finiteness. So it's what's called in Chkira, the Rambam, it's called Mechuyev HaMetzias, not of Shari HaMetzias. So Ein Davar Oses Atzmai, the table doesn't scream Ein Davar Oses Atzmai. Even us, we know that we have parents. But when I look at myself, I don't intuitively feel I have a Zayda. I know I have a Zayda. I know I have a Baba. But it's not in the intuition. I know that I'm alive. Consciousness, I know. I know there's a system, unless I want to be stupid. I know there's a system. But from the system, you say, one second, and how did Bechal come here? So from there you understand ishavus. But on this, ishavus is more of a, it's a pilpul, it's a vert, it's ein davar oses atzmai. Chiyus is something, yeah, you don't want to call it God, give it another name, but everyone is talking about God. When they're talking about systems, they're talking about laws of nature. Any scientist, he can call himself an atheist. He comes into the lab and he's expecting that there's laws of nature. I never saw, the whole nature follows a law without any lawgiver. Why are they following laws of nature? Who forces them? I understand you got a knas in yeshiva. Who forces the galaxies to follow laws of nature? They also get a knas. So you don't want to call it God. Don't call it the energy. Call it cosmic energy. Call it the system. Call it oneness. That is Hashem. Maybe it's even a better name than God. But his havos, that already you need a cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? Ein davar oses atzmai. So mainly here we come to the nekuda. It says, Ata Mechaya is kulam. So the Alter Rebbe says, Al Tikri Mechaya Ele Mahava. I don't understand. If you want to say Mahava, say Mahava. No. It says Mechaya. Don't say Mechaya, say Mahava. Come on. Say Mahava. No. It says Mechaya Al Tikri. It says, now you see the diuk. It's so precise. It's so accurate. He says, V'zo shemashenemer because of begolui huva ata mechayes kulam. V'al zeh bo halimud al tikri mechayel mava ki yaduah shem halimud al tikri eina shoylel ala moisif oid inyin. Hainu shema inyin de mechaye boim lidea kore gamba inyin de mahava. The Torah is not just, Torah is the blueprint of creation. Whatever is in the blueprint, you're going to see in the house. A real architect, the blueprint is precise. Something that's going to be hidden under the floor in the blueprint, it's also going to be in a different position. Something that's going to be visible in the blueprint, it's going to be visible. Torah is the blueprint of existence. So when Chazal say, Al Tikri, it says Mechaya, but Al Tikri Mechaya Lamahava, not a pilpul a pshatala, here they go again, the rabbis doing whatever they want with the texts. No, that's an immaturity. It's the blueprint of creation. Mahava, you need al-tikri. Mechaya, that says clearly. You know, if you look at the world, it's alive. Whatever you want, it's a living organism. The world, I'm a living organism. You can't deny that. You're a living organism. The universe is a living organism. The planet is a living organism. Wherever you look, there's an organism. There's structure, there's system, there's precision, there's purpose, and it's all to support life on earth. There's a lot of things we don't understand true. That's true. So, v'ata mechaya es kulam. That's there. That's the pasuk. V'ata mechaya es kulam. Al-tikri mechaya lemahav. Al-tikri doesn't negate. Al-tikri says, don't only read what it says, go also to what it doesn't say. So don't only read mechaya, go also to mahava. Al-tikri mechaya, go to mahava. That's why mahava doesn't say, mechaya says. So in the same pasuk, in the same word, you have both. Why? Because this is the Eid Ein Sof that goes to be Mahava and to be Mechaya all the Nevroi. So what does all this bring out? This brings out the first element that we spoke about. Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam brings out that the Eid Ein Sof permeates even in Olam Hasiyah. It's not like we live in a world that's detached, that's isolated, that's disconnected, where it's all concealment. Sometimes you talk about the lamata of the world, how low the world is. Here he's being out, yeah, it's very low. But va'ata mechayas, the Eid Ein Sof is lamata mata adin tachlas. Anybody who has eyes and wants to see reality sees that every moment is a moment of gratitude. Every moment is a moment of thankfulness. Why? Because every moment is literally the miracle of life. Now, it's hard for us to experience this because we're so much anxiety and stress and everybody has mises. That's why, right? That's why we learn. That's why we daven. That's why we try to put ourselves every morning into a mind of gratitude. What does it really mean to live? What does it mean to live? What it means to live is to be in a space of gratitude. That's really what it means to live. You say, no. It means to live is I have to fix my car. I have to go to the bank. Yeah, I know. I have to fix my car and I have to go to the bank. But that's what can disturb life. You do that with gratitude. I have to go to the bank, yeah? Because I'm breathing. I'm alive. In other words, Kola Neshama Ta'alal Yutke, we say in Davening, yeah? So what does it say in Medrash? Al Kol Neshimu Neshima. What is life really? What is life really? Life is really the breath that's happening right now, the breath that I am inhaling and exhaling. That's my life right now. Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, when somebody stops that. That's the end of Olam Hazeh for them, right? So what is really life? You know, we turn life into this whole philosophy and pressure. What is really life? How can I philosophize? How can I feel anxiety? Because I'm breathing. If you go on a deeper level, what is my neshima? My neshima is essentially Hashem's life coming through me. So what does it mean to be alive? That means that I'm grateful for this moment that I can be a channel for Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam. Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam. That's what it is. The Maggid of Mizrich says, he says, the tachlis of life is, for a person, Hashem tells Yeshayev, ata harem ka shofar kailecha. He says, a person needs to be a shofar. That's what a Shoshana, we blow shofar. What's a shofar? A shofar doesn't create the sound. A shofar channels the sound. That's what it does. But without the shofar, it's not the same sound. I can go, the shofar, doo. What's the avoda with shofar? You have to hollow it out. You don't have to create this, just hollow it out. If the shofar is filled with marrow, marach of Yiddish, then there's no ka. So the Maggid says you have to hollow out the ego. You have to hollow out the shofar means you're a shofar. Now be a beautiful shofar. So I get rid of my ego, my self-consciousness. I know it's easier said than done. Because you saw all these stuff inside. But that's what I am. And then, va'ata mechaya eskulam. Va'ata mechaya eskulam. We're lamata mata adin tachlis. Either a world that's concealed. The concealment is, if I don't focus. But if a person focuses, every single moment, most of the systems of my body are not done consciously by me. I decided to breathe now. Without a respiratory system, can I live? Without a digestive system, can I live? Without a urinary system, that's the Beis Hakisei system, can I live? Without a circulatory system, can I live? Who's doing all these 9 systems that are happening with 100 billion neurons making decisions? Who's doing all that? I don't even know about it. So I'm busy worrying about different things where the real main stuff are being worried for me. What's my job? Show up! Show up and celebrate! Show up! That's it. Just show up! I'm not minimizing Chas v'Shalom struggle and pain. There's a lot of struggle and a lot of pain. But the nekuda is, Va'ata Mechayas Kulam is the yisoid of everything. There's struggle and there's pain in the context of Ata Mechayas Kulam. And then I'll take Mechaya Ela Mahava. From Mechaya come to Mahava. So even the Mahava is also revealed through the Mechaya, because you start looking at it and you say, Ein Davar Yisrael Satzmai. Ein Davar Yisrael Satzmai. I didn't come from nowhere. There was a mother that gave birth to me. And my mother also didn't come from nowhere. There was a mother that gave birth to her. And every Nivra is that way. It can't be any other way. Unless we come up with this idea that something that has to be put together by something else, automatically, from what? Without something else. So every something else, this, my mother had a mother, and all the way to the beginning, and then you have to say, and that where? Ein davar es asatzma. But that's not intuitive in creation. Mechaya, you see the difference. That's Va'ata Mechaya versus Va'ata Mahava. So Mela, this brings out the union of Eirin Seif Lamata Adin Tachlis. What's called Eirin Seif Lamata Adin Tachlis? It's not that Hashem is everywhere. That's what he says in footnote Yud, here, what the Rebbe said Friday night. It's not that Hashem is everywhere. Einoid Mulvada. He could have said Einoid Mulvada. He says Va'ata Mechaya Es Kulam. There's a difference. Say Hashem is everywhere means Hashem is everywhere. Like you say, the light of the sun goes everywhere, right? But it's not, I'm not going to say that the light of the sun is connected to me personally. You say Hashem is everywhere. He's infinite. He's even in the lowest places. Here he's saying something else. Va'ata Mechaya Es Kulam. Aleph Tof Hey. In other words, the individual properties of you are divine. You understand the difference? When you say Hashem is everywhere, it's about Hashem's infinity. We're not talking about Hashem's infinity. We're talking about my identity. That's the chiddush of Va'ata. That's why he says Va'ata is not Atzmus. Va'ata is Aleph Tav Hei. It's the way the Oir is transmitted to create the functionality and the existence of every Nivra on its terms. The functionality of a Nivra is not something that you look to infinity. You see it in the Nivra. You see it in the existence. Just the words Einoid Mulvade means, yeah, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Hashem is here, but where am I? Hashem is here, but where am I? Like the Kotzker Rebbe said, you know, he is where you let him in. So he's here, he could be everywhere. The light of the sun is in your house, and it's also in my house. It's connected to your house. The Mizans, oh, this is the Jacobson house, yeah? And this is the North house. And this is the Kaplan house. The sun doesn't care. Nitch Kaplan, Nitch North, Nitch Jacobson. I'm the sun. I'm powerful. I go everywhere. You like it, good. You don't like it, put a Venetian blind. So God says, I'm powerful. I don't care who you are. Einoid Mulvade. That's not the Vart. It's a true Vart. The Vart is Va'ata Mechaya Es Kulam. That's his Aleph Tav Hei. The Vart is that the individual identity of the Nivra is Mechaya Es Kulam. That expresses Elikus. You could see it in the Mata. In other words, it's in the Gedarim, it's in the Mata, it's who you are. It's not just who Hashem is. It's a very, very subtle distinction. That's the Chiddush. That's what the Zohar doesn't just say, Eir is Ein Sof. He says, the Eir Ein Sof is Lamata Adin Tachlis. It's a Gedar in the Mata. And that's critical, important. That's the definition of the Inyan itself, of the Nivra itself. So that, and that's what the word Eir means. If Atzmus itself did it, then everything would be Atzmus. Atzmus wanted to conceal itself in a way that there should be something called the world. The reason we talk about a world that's finite, we speak about a bee dance, we speak about a tobacco tree, we speak about a Venus flytrap. I don't call the Venus flytrap Atzmus. I could. If I had the eyes of Atzmus, I would call it Atzmus. I call it a Venus flytrap. That's because Isis. There's something called a fly and a trap and a bee and a person and an atom. That's Isis, Aleph Tafe. In other words, it's the way Atzmus is coming into a way that it's perceived as the definition of reality. And over there, Va'ata Mechaya Es Kulam. You had the Inyan, the Taifas. Yah, Rabbi Yosef. Because Mechaya Mesim, every mace, the body decomposes, but it goes back to the earth. So what's needed is the Nuchius, not this Havas. Right, but you need the guf should be mechayim. You need the guf to be chai, and especially the Medrash says there's the etzem luz, right? There's the luz bone that's indestructible, And so that needs chiyus. You see it also, by the way, in nature. It's a pella with, I spoke before about seeds, yeah? How many seeds a fruit produces and a tree produces. Huge amounts, which it has to be with purpose. Somebody somehow knew that I want this to exist. Right? And somehow somebody knew that me and all the animals in the world, in order to live, we need these fruits. So it's an interesting thing with seeds. The way nature, the way Hashem made it is that seeds have an unbelievable koyach hanitzchius. In Israel a few years ago, when Yigal Yadin excavated Masada, so he found seeds of a date tree that the Masada Jews stored away. They had storages of food. So you're talking about a few years after Churban Bayisheni. So he found in 1961 or 62, he found seeds of a date tree. Seeds. They're literally 2,000 years old. Almost 2,000. Huh? Pits. I mean pits, yeah. Yeah, I mean pits. And they put them in the Israel Museum. What are they going to do? They're not going to throw them. They put them in the Israel Museum. A few years ago, there was a professor in Israel. Her name is Professor Levy. She decided, let me plant them. And let me plant these pits. And she did. Now she said, I heard an interview with her. She said, I was certain the probability that anything is going to happen was zero and another few million zeros. Zero was, after a few months, she planted it in the Negev because it needed a special climate. 2,000 years, dead, dry, emaciated. Talk about chiyus ha'meisim. After a few months, suddenly, it's sprouting. There's saplings. A simcha. Literally, we're going to eat the dates from Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. Literally, those dates, same dates. The problem is, like all problems, it turned into be a male tree. And with men, you can't do anything. It was a male tree, so males don't grow. Males just like to be. Hadeibishta Geholfen. A few years later, near the Qumran caves where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found other pits of dates. These turned out to be 2,500 years old. Which means, it says in Tanakh, we're learning about Nehemiah here, that when Nehemiah and Ezra came back, it says they brought dates, they brought olives. It's in Tanakh. So, and they looked at them, and it looked like they came from Iraq. The DNA, it pointed to Iraq. So I can't for sure know. But it may even be that maybe this is what they brought. But certainly it comes before the beginning of Bayesheni. And you know what she did? She planted them. And after a few months, it turned out to start growing. And it was a female. She named the first one Mesushalach. And the second one she named Chana. Now it grew, right? There was a flower. Now it was time for a shidduch. So she took the pollen of Mesushalach and she pollinated Chana. And I believe, two or three years ago, it grew into dates. And they came, they made a shachiyanu with her eights. I saw some videos and pictures and they were pasha crying when they made the brachi. You could see the tears. What do you see from here? The seed has a koyach 2,000 years later, 2,500 years later, the DNA is alive and well and can sprout. It gives you hamchasha. What's in the bria, right? Why do the seeds have that koyach? That's what allows the sustenance of creation. The climate, of course. Yeah. Today we know if the DNA of a person is deposited in the right climate, the right space, yeah, it can exist for a million years. In other words, potentially you can make Tchiyas HaMesim a million years later. You have the DNA. Even in regular circumstances, 5,000 years, 10,000 years is b'chlal not a chiddush. When it speaks about the etzem luz that's indestructible with DNA, you see a visualization of it. Okay, we'll take a stop here. Be'ezer Hashem will continue this year Thursday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow I'm in London, so there's no shir for women tomorrow. So if your wives or daughters come, just tell them tomorrow there's no shir. London is calling. Ah? Fish and chips. Oh yeah, why? Ah. What time you think? 8:15. You think it'll be done 8:15? Right, okay, Yeshikayach. So Thursday morning is 8:15 because it's Rosh Chodesh here. It's Rosh Chodesh everywhere, but also here. Yeah, so the Vesik and Minya will end, so 8:15 will start. Okay.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.